House, come to order. The members please register their presence by voting. Does any member fail to register their presence? Clerk may take the quorum.
Thirty-six present, four absent.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, Representative Ostrowski is excused from the call of the House today. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Please rise for prayer by Reverend John Quinn, Unification Church. Representative Ida.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Great, no objection. So ordered. Clerk, please certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 50th day.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 50th day.
No objection, so ordered. This brings us to the introduction of guests. Are the guests to be introduced to the House? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, with us today is Lizelle Johnson, who is Associate Assistant Regional Director of the Federal Women's Bureau from Seattle. She's touring Alaska to speak to women's groups in Anchorage and Fairbanks and here in Juneau on new careers for women.
There are other guests for introduction. Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I have in Gallery B some friends and constituents. From Anchorage, a dump truck operator and president of the Alaska Dump Truckers Association is John Kurt. John's been in Alaska for 17 years. Two other friends, Terry Bailey, who's a sister of Norm Bailey and works in a computer business with Von Sperlin.
Other guests for introduction. Clerk, have messages from the governor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. There is a legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted letter that has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It's 2 pages long. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have messages from the other House.
The president has appointed the following members to a second conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with the light committee from the House to consider Senate Bill number 138 and House committee substitute for Senate Bill number 138 amended by the House, zoning and state parks. Senator Tillian, chairman, Senator Coletta, Senator Rader. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 64, Public Employees Retirement System with an effective date, namely Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 64. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with the light committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Chance Chairman, Senator Rohde, Senator Sackett.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, you recall that last Friday, upon receiving the Senate Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 64, we failed to concur in those Senate amendments in that Senate substitute because we'd been requested by the governor the opportunity to listen one last time to alternatives that he might propose to this legislation. As you'll recall, you appointed a free conference committee consisting of myself and Representative Kelly and Representative Eliason. Although we just now received the message from the Senate relative to their appointment, actually the first meeting of the free conference committee was held yesterday. We did hear from the administration the proposal that they had for us. What they proposed, Mr. Speaker, was that we kind of just scrap House Bill 64 as it's written and instead institute a cost of living index into the retirement system. The feeling of the, and it was the unanimous feeling of both free conference committees, both Senate and House, that what the governor proposed wasn't without merit. However, it was just, frankly, about a year and a half too late. It's far too late in the game to be considering a complete, total change of direction. This very well may be a good type of change legislation for this next legislature next year to consider. It might very well have merit, but for it to be considered just in these last moments of the process on House Bill 64 without going through any committees, it just wasn't in the cards. It just wasn't the responsible thing to do. We heard once again from the representatives of state employees and the municipal employees, and their number one priority for the thing they want to do with the retirement system that they pay for, and I emphasize that, Mr. Speaker, that they pay for, is the 20 and out provision, which is contained in the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 64. Of course, it was also contained in the provision that this House passed last year and sent to the Senate. So therefore, I'm going to make a motion, Mr. Speaker, at this time. However, I will withdraw the motion if there's objection and somebody wants to wait till unfinished business. But in the absence of an objection, I'm going to move that we recede from our prior action and that we do concur in the Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 64.
Objections noted. Mr. Cooper.
Speaker, could we have an adies?
House stand adies. House come back to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, it'll be my intention in a moment to place a motion to recess for purposes of a Democratic caucus. I'll pause in case the minority wants to do likewise.
Mr. Speckin. Might be more effective. Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, first I'll move and ask unanimous consent to withdraw my motion relative to concurrence, and I'll move at this time to recess to the call of the chair for purposes of joint caucuses.
House is in recess, the call of the chair for purpose of caucus. House coming to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, it's going to be my intention in a moment to replace the motion that I made this morning, and when I do so, I'll call the House. We have at least one member absent, perhaps two, but and then we can proceed with other business until any absent members are here. So at the present time, I'll move, Mr. Speaker, that we recede from our previous action and that we do concur in committee substitute for sponsor substitute, concur in Senate committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 64. And I'll call the House, Mr. Speaker.
Motion's been made and the House has been called. The staff, please locate any absent member. I think we have two absent. Mr. President. Bradley, Mr. Naughton, somebody in the back. Mrs. Kelly is here. She's out. Several more. And without objection, we'll go on with other business while the absent members are being rounded up. Where were we on the calendar, Madam Clerk? Does the clerk have other messages from the Senate?
The Senate has passed the following, and they are returned herewith. House Concurrent Resolution Number 95, relating to the Iditarod Trail Race. House Bill Number 157, relating to unauthorized entry or occupancy of property. These bills have been sent to enrolling. The Senate accepts the invitation of the House to meet in joint session Friday to hear the Honorable Jason Bowe, President of the Oregon Senate. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill Number 353, amended, relating to the exportation of game, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 353 rules relating to the exportation of game with an effective date, and the enrolled copy is transmitted herewith. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 354, amended, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to limited liability companies.
Commerce and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 577, amended, by Miller, an act relating to the legal rate of interest on leases of personal property.
Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 640, amended, by Rohde, Chance, Croft, Huber, Curtula, Miller, and Sackett, an act making a special appropriation to the Lieutenant Governor's Office, Office of Volunteer Services, for the Foster Grandparent Program and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk have general communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Bill 20, amended, relating to permanent part-time employment in state service and providing for an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Miller, Parker, Fisher, H. Byrne, and Wallace. M. Byrne has no recommendation. Senate Bill 20, amended, has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 199, relating to the time for opening and closing polls, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 199, Judiciary, with the same title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Bradley, Parr, and Cotton. House Bill 199 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 522, relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 522, Judiciary, with the same title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, and concurred in by Gardner, Cotton, Brown, Bradley, Specking, Eliason, and Parr. House Bill 522 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 548, providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $10 million, for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing and maintaining local service roads and trails under AS 1930-231 through 1930-251, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 548. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 548 with a new title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by H. Byrne, Parker, Miller, and Wallace, having no recommendation, Fisher and M. Byrne. There is a chairman's report attached. House Bill 548 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 584, relating to substitution of prescription drugs by pharmacists, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 584, Judiciary, with the same title, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Parr, Bradley, Eliason, Cotton, and Brown. Mr. Specking has no recommendation. House Bill 584 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 623, providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $50,360,200 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 623 with a new title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by H. Byrne, Parker, Miller, McKinnon, and Wallace, Having no recommendation, Fisher and Embern. House Bill 623 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 677, removing the exemption of banks and financial institutions from the antitrust law, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee reported back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Wallace, Urien, Rudd, Freeman, and Kelly. Signing due pass, Bradley and McKinnon. House Bill 677 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 779, an act creating the Alaska Power Authority, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, M. Byrne, Fisher, McKinnon, and Wallace. H. Byrne has no recommendation. House Bill 779 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 809, relating to limitation on proceeds from bingo, raffles and lotteries, ice classics, dog mushers contests, fish derbies, and contests of skill, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 809 with the same title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Brown, Cotton, Bradley, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Specking. Signing do not pass, Eliason. House Bill 809 has no further referral. There is a Rules Committee Chairman's report on House Joint Resolution number 10. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
The clerk, have reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution number 107 by the Rules Committee, relating to the impact on Alaska of a by the Rules Committee by request of the Joint Gas Pipeline Impact Committee, relating to impact on Alaska of a Trans-Canada gas transportation system.
Referred to Finance.
House Concurrent Resolution number 108 by the State Affairs Committee, honoring George Atla for winning his sixth Spur Rendezvous Championship.
Rules.
House Joint Resolution number 55 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, requesting Congress to appropriate funds to the state for sewer construction.
Community and Regional Affairs.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk have bills for introduction?
House Bill number 848 by the Rules Committee by request of the Joint Gas Pipeline Impact Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the purpose of conducting negotiations with prospective purchasers of North Slope natural gas and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 849 by the Rules Committee by request of the Joint Gas Pipeline Impact Committee, an act relating to the leases of state land for oil and gas and the taking of royalty gas from them and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 850 by the Rules Committee by request of the Joint Gas Pipeline Impact Committee, an act relating to waste of oil and gas and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 626 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the establishment of marine sanctuaries and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
House stand at ease for a moment.
Unanimous consent to roll call.
State Affairs has had House Bill 686 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by H. Byrne, M. Byrne, Miller, and McKinnon. Mr. Parker signed no recommendation. This idea all wet. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 686 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There no objection. House Bill 686 is advanced from the second to third reading, placed on final passage. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 686 by Gardner and Freeman, an act relating to the legalization of rain classics.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I really have no objection to this bill. I think it's fine that Ketchikan is able to turn their misfortune into a fortune. But one thing I think we should keep in mind somewhere along the line, maybe during the budgetary process, it's interesting to note that the Department of Revenue has only one person that handles these permits. And today they're being, they get about 50 requests a day for these different lotteries, and I know several of the PTA groups in my district had to cancel out their lotteries for the inability to get a permit. So I'm sure that they may not be inundated with requests for the rain classics, but it's going to add to the problem, and maybe we'll put some more people in the position to take care of all these gambling requests.
Mr. Speckman was seeking the floor. Mr. Brown was on the floor.
I'll yield to either sponsor if either sponsor wishes.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think the bill's pretty self-explanatory. It's just a problem in Ketchikan. We don't have a whole lot of ice. We don't have, consequently, any dog mushers. And I guess we do have fish derbies, but, so we kind of need something down there for a little bit of entertainment and activity.
How does a rain classic work?
Well, the first thing you have to have is rain. And after that, the idea is that people would, is with an ice classic, would buy a ticket and guess how much the total amount of rainfall is going to be in a given period, presumably a year. And rain varies time to time, and the person who comes closest would be the winner, just as it is with the ice classic.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, sometimes I wonder why, but I think I'm going to vote for this bill. But it does kind of bother me, you know. There's this section 2 of the bill says, with the exception of rain classics and so forth, going back to some grandfather clauses relating to January 1, 1959, which was the beginning of statehood, notwithstanding the plaque that's under the flag at the Anchorage International Airport that must have been put there by somebody who got here last Tuesday. And one of the things that bothers me is, Mr. Speaker, Alaskans tend to bet on an awful lot of things, legally and illegally, and I would hate to have us starting a trend so that next year and the following year there was something else happening relating to something that has happened, not normally been carried on before January 1, 1959, added to this bill. I've sat in coffee shops and cocktail lounges and watched people bet on whether there's going to be a redhead walk in the door or a one-legged man and all this sort of thing. When I was a little kid, it was alleged that the U.S. Marshal was running the gambling in the Fourth Judicial Division in the territory. And I would hope that I would admit that there has been rain falling in Ketchikan since before January 1, 1959. So I suppose that's why I'm going to vote for the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I just think that we have this bill before us. Maybe we can get it sort of an inside tip. Just what would be a good guess? How many inches of rain are we talking about would win this derby?
Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you're going to have to go down to inches to win, but it would be somewhere between 13 and 17 and a half feet.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall House Bill 686 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may take the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Parker. Parker's not changing his vote. He's failed to register. Any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, one excused.
House Bill 686 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House will be at ease. House come to order. The call is now satisfied. There's only one member not present, and that member is excused from the call of the House, Representative Ostrowski. So the motion concerning House Bill 64 is now before the body. That motion is to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 64. Is there discussion? We'll have a roll call on the bill. Objections noted. Mr. Huntington.
Yeah, I have a right to object because in my own caucus, why I came out to a different deliberation. First of all, on this bill, I want to know where the fiscal note is, and I haven't seen it. I think we have a right to see that fiscal note. Another thing, if I'm wrong, I want somebody to clarify me. It says in here a person may file, well, he can go to work on his 50th birthday. On his 55th birthday, he can retire. Is that right or is that wrong?
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I think maybe the representative is referring to last year's bill. The 50 and 54-year provisions were passed last year. The Senate committee substitute deals only with the 20-year retirement. It allows what's called 20-year and out. In other words, if a state employee works for 20 years for the state, he can retire. The fiscal note, incidentally, was circulated, and the total out-of-state funds are $1.9323 million.
This is the bill we're set on our desk. Is that the last year's bill? Is that the way to do it here, put the wrong bill on the desk, or is it the right bill? I have a committee substitute for counter substitute, House Bill number 64.
Mr. Miller. Probably shows last year's language.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you see, being capitalized, the language you're talking about is actually being extracted because this, any letters in brackets and capitalization is being taken out.
The way I read it here is a normal retirement date for employees means the first day of the month following either the 55th birthday and 5 years of credit service or 20 years of credit service, whichever is earlier. That's what mine reads. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I see now what the problem is. In order to make the bill consistent, we had to change the word a peace officer or fireman to an employee. Peace officers and firemen already have this 55-year provision in there. And this bill is now bringing the, and it's also the 20th year of credited service. This bill is now bringing that 20-year provision into the thing for all employees, not just peace officers or firemen. But I repeat, this action, as far as 55 years old, was action we took last year. That's not the new thing. The new thing is that you can retire in 20 years.
But I still don't get it. You took out the peace officer and the fireman because they're already taken care of. Is that affirmative?
Well, that's last year, the only people that qualified for both the 55-year retirement and the 20-year and out provision were peace officers or firemen. This year, with the passage of this bill, all employees will qualify for that. But as a matter of fact, they already qualified for part of it as a basis of what we accomplished last year. It's important to remember that the only change that's being made is the addition of the word an employee rather than a peace officer or a fireman. This bill deals only with the 20-year and out provision. The rest of it was taken care of last year, and this second paragraph right here just brings this into conformity.
So this covers every employee of the state, then?
Every
employee of the state.
Every employee of the state, plus a number of municipal employees whose municipalities participate in the program. We're talking about 15,000 Alaskans.
And the five-year provision that a fellow could work 5 years and retire was put in last year.
It's the 55-year retirement was.
Well, it says
was part of the House Bill
5 years credited service. That's what's put in there last year. And that means that a fellow worked for the state of Alaska 5 years, he can retire, as long as he goes to work in his 50th year and ends in his 55th year. That was in there last year?
For quite a number of years, I think probably three, the 5 years has been the vesting period. In other words, you work for the state for 5 years, and you become vested. That means you're into the program. Of course, you can't retire until you reach your 55th birthday, or if this bill passes, until you work for the state for 20 years. But you become vested after the fifth year. But again, that's nothing new. That's been in the bill for 3 or 4 years at least.
A person going to work in his 20th year for the state of Alaska could retire in his 40th year?
Yes. Anybody that's put in 20 under the provisions
of this
bill.
A person going to work on his 18th birthday could try to retire at 38 then.
Right. If he went to work for it at 17, he could do it on his 37th, yes.
I would vote against no, because I don't believe in people retiring that early or working that little for that much retirement.
Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to ask a question of Mr. Miller. I think I got confused now. I thought I understood it before, and I'm not sure. Isn't it true that after 5 years a person may retire, but that's not what you would call their normal retirement date, but that if they do retire early after 5 years or 10 years or something less than whatever we call the normal retirement date, that they retire with a reduced amount of retirement money?
I think I understand your question. You can only retire after 5 years if you went to work right now at the age of 50. And then if you reach the age of 55, you could retire after 5 years, but of course your retirement pension would be very, very small indeed. It would because you would have only accumulated, 5 years in the system. But if you went to work at the age of 50, you could indeed retire at 55, but at a very small amount of dollars. If you went to work any earlier than 50, even though you put in your 5 years, you couldn't retire until your 55th birthday.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's clear, but I just wanted to make sure that it is clear that this bill does not just address state employees. It addresses all those groups that participate in the public employee retirement system, which includes employees of groups like the Fairbanks Municipal Utilities and quite a few others throughout the state, communities in Anchorage and Fairbanks. I understand even the employees of the North Slope Borough are now covered under this, and many other groups all over the state. It's also my understanding that although there is, of course, a fiscal impact on the state of Alaska, that the employees under the plan, if this were to pass, would be contributing about 60% of the cost of the program. I think it's a very fair bill, and I'm going to vote in favor of the motion.
So any other discussion? The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 64? Members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. If any member wish to change their vote, clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 18 nays, 1 excused.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill 64. Brings us back to the daily calendar. The clerk read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 198 amended by Ferguson, an act relating to a refund to retailers of a portion of the purchase price paid by them for intoxicating liquors, which represents excise tax paid to the state by the wholesaler and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Bill 198 amended under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Wallace, Miller, McKinnon, Specking, Fisher, and Parker. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 198 amended under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Greening, Cooper, Guy, and Buchholz. And Masita has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, in the absence of amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 198 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There are no objections. Senate Bill 198. It is advanced from the second to third reading, placed in final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
Senate Bill number 198 amended by Ferguson, an act relating to a refund to retailers of a portion of the purchase price paid by them for intoxicating liquors, which represents excise tax paid to the state by the wholesaler and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Hackney.
Mr. Speaker, just to comment on this bill, it's long been the Weather Bureau's custom to name storms after women, and I was kind of wondering if the name of the storm that did this damage was the Carry Nation.
Could we have it at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House will stand at ease. House come to order. Senate Bill 198 is before us in third reading. Is there any discussion? Discussion on Senate Bill 198. There's no further discussion. The question is, then is, shall Senate Bill 198 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, one excused.
Senate Bill 198 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill number 198 amended be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar to unfinished business. Is there anything to come before the House under unfinished business? Special orders. Committee announcements. Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe the House Finance Committee has a meeting scheduled this afternoon with State Affairs. I'll let the chairman of that committee announce that meeting. House Finance is meeting at 7:30 p.m. this evening to consider the school funding bills, House Bill 650, 743, 619, and 620. Also on the agenda this evening is House Bill 410 relating to royalty oil and gas. Anticipate the discussion of those bills will carry over to tomorrow morning, and I hope to put some of those bills out of committee at 8:30 a.m.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee will be tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to discuss House Bill 642 and House Bill 845 dealing with the establishment of Alaska Fisheries Impact.
Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Joint State Affairs Finance Committee meeting that Mr. Malone referred to has been postponed.
Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House Commerce tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Will be taking up bills that have been before us before. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. we'll be dealing with a host of public utility bills, specifically House Bill 243, sponsor substitute, House Bill Bills 751, 752, 753, 754, and 755.
Mr. Cotton.
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9. House Bill 811 dealing with proposed boundary changes.
Mr. Smith.
Labor and Management will meet at 3 this afternoon on House Bill 588, Occupational Safety and Health.
Mr. Parr.
The Select Committee on Education will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock, first to hear from the delegation of students from the University of Alaska, and then to consider House Bill 708 and 709 dealing with student internships, and 715 dealing with the student loan program.
Mr. Rossi. House will stand at ease. House come to order. Mr. Naughton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Legislative Budget and Audit Committee will meet Friday. Budget and Audit Committee will meet Friday, the 5th of March, 2:30 p.m. in the House Finance Room.
Mr. Gardner. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the Select Committee on Telecommunications will meet with the Judiciary afternoon while the Judiciary Committee marks up some telecommunications bills, and then we're also meeting at 3 o'clock in room 207 of the Assembly.
We have a new page over by the door there. Mr. Urien. Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple items today. Got to mention earlier, House Bill 601, the School Foundation Program, is also on the agenda for 8:30 tomorrow morning, along with House Bill 664, Talkeetna Agricultural Reserve.
Any other announcements? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, body is in adjournment.